So I told the kids that I used to have something that comforted me when I was little. Do you know who it was? Well, I did. I sucked my thumb, but I had something that I held. Okay, so I was... No, it wasn't. It wasn't that. And that's always the good answer, like when you ask a question, who comforts us? And you could say, Holy Spirit or Jesus. But when I was a little kid, so I'm a little kid in the late 60s and early 70s, mostly the late 60s during my suck my thumb and hold on to something. So anyone, any guesses what I would use? What would be my comforter? It wasn't a blanket. No. It was a stuffed animal, a particular stuffed animal. This is quiz time. So you got to, pardon? No, it wasn't a dog. It was a character that had been popular and was popular as a plush doll. No, it wasn't a dog. Barney? No, Barney would be more than 90s. So, yeah. No, actually, my daughter Marianne, she liked Barney. She's of the Barney age, but yeah, during Mr. Rogers' first years. That's when I'm a little kid and when Sesame Street debuted. It wasn't Ernie or Bert. Sorry, I'm not kidding. Here, it was Smokey Bear. Some of us say Smokey the Bear, but technically his name is Smokey Bear. So from age 3 to about 5, Smokey Bear was my constant companion. I didn't like him because he sought to build awareness about forest fire prevention. I didn't care. I just knew that when I was scared, when I was lonely, when I was anxious, sleepy, or sometimes just simply fine, holding Smokey in one hand, I think it was this thumb, and sucking my thumb on the other hand made me feel better. And I went through at least 3 Smokies. Because we all, you know, I know that sometimes blankets, like, last for a certain period of time, but then you have to get another blanket and sew a piece of the old blanket onto it so that it's the right blanket. Well, I went from one Smokey to the next, and it took about a week at least, or 2 weeks, to get Smokey sort of broken in. And I don't know if I have a Smokey anymore, and I thought maybe I should go up in the attic and see if there's one in a box, and I didn't this week. I guess I'm not so attached anymore. So I don't have Smokey nowadays. Most of us don't have the blankets or the pacifiers or the stuffed animals that gave us comfort when we were kids. But nowadays, there are still times where I feel scared, I feel lonely, anxious, sleepy, fine, awful, whatever it is. And now it's a hug from my wife. Or maybe you've seen it before. Playing my guitar brings comfort. Singing out loud, watching TV, that's a comfort for a lot of us, you know? Flip on the TV and just watch. Listening to the radio to go to sleep. A lot of times I want to have the radio on. I don't listen to it. It's just noise. Staring at a computer screen gives comfort. And those are some of the things that help me to feel better nowadays. And you'll notice, what did I not worship? Ann, you said it. What did Ann say a few minutes? Jesus. I didn't say... praying and worshiping or anything like that, because I love worship and prayer, and I'm a minister. I love Jesus, and this is my career is about this. My life is about this. But church and worshiping and prayer aren't the first thing I think of when I'm not feeling my best. I usually, and not always, probably the same for you, I usually feel better after church or after praying than I did before. Doesn't always happen. But when I'm feeling out of sorts, I don't have this automatic thought of, I need to get to church. I don't know if you have that thought, but I don't. When I'm feeling out of sorts, I'm like, I want to feel better. I want this to go away. I want to do something that's going to take my mind off of this. So Jesus was saying goodbye to the disciples. They were upset. This wasn't goodbye, see you in a few hours or very soon. This was goodbye. He was giving them a whole speech of goodbye, like, I am going. You're not going to see me anymore. And I know that resurrection was on the horizon and everything was about to change forever, and we get to see that from now's perspective. The disciples got to see it from their perspective then, which was, we have no idea what's going on. This resurrection thing is too much for us. It was unnerving for the disciples. They were confused. They didn't know what was coming next. And Jesus did not say, go to church. He didn't say, go to the temple. He did pray with them an awful lot. But here's what Jesus told them. He said, love. He was all about that, and some of his parting words were, love me. In some other places, very near here in John 15, he said, love one another. I give you a new commandment. And then he also told them, he said, love, and I'm going to send you an advocate. That's the word that's used here. It's a counselor, a comforter to help them to feel better. Here's his words. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you together. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Another advocate. So a little Greek lesson, a little Hebrew lesson, because we do this sometimes. In Greek, it's parakletos. In Latin, advocatus. That's where we get advocate. Paraclete. The closest Hebrew equivalent is Nahem or Menachem, and that means comforter. And as is usually the case, these words, Menachem and Parakletos and Advocatus, they don't have an adequate English definition. One word can't do it. So while we have one word, I will send you an advocate. But what's being communicated in these words, and especially in the word that's in the New Testament, Parakletos, is, we call it the Paraclete nowadays, and it's another name for the Holy Spirit. But it is counselor, it is intercessor, it is one who stands beside you, like in court, like your lawyer, your advocate like that, your strengthener, your comforter, your all-around helper. All of that is included in Paraclete. And the other words that are similar to it. So that's what Jesus promised to the disciples. Another one who would be by their side. They were going to miss him. He had been by their side. And now they wouldn't be left alone after he left. He said, I will not leave you orphaned. A child with a security blanket. Or a smoky bear, or a pacifier, or whatever it is that gives them comfort, has a sense of something standing beside them. I can't get into the mind of a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, and say exactly what that is. And they may not be able to process the idea of losing a parent or being abandoned. Psychologists tell us that kids get far more than we think that they get, and they observe far more than we think that they do. And things like security blankets help them to process through some of the fears that they have. And I also think that kids get feeling not right. Everyone gets when you just don't feel right. You may not be able to describe it, and a kid may not be able to describe it, but you can see it when a kid's uncomfortable. The security blanket, or the thumb, or the smoky bear, or the fingers, or whatever it is, communicates to them on some level, you are not alone. So, a prayer could be, thank you, Spirit, for being present and communicating you are not alone. For me, it would be in a hug from my wife, in music from a guitar, in the melody and harmony in a song, in a moving, funny, or engaging program on television, with a familiar news voice on the radio, in words read, and even friendships cultivated through a computer screen, and in Smokey Bear. Because I think that all of these things that comfort us have this Holy Spirit element. If the Holy Spirit can be present around us, why can't the Holy Spirit be present in Smokey Bear for a little kid? So I wonder, I don't want to ever encourage you not to come to church. or to pray or to worship. But I wonder, how does the Spirit comfort you? Because you have, you don't have to say this now, I want you to think about it though. There are things that you do, things that are around you that give you comfort. And I know we have vices. We have stuff that we shouldn't do that give us comfort. And I don't really mean about going there, but there are things that we do that are good, that are uplifting, that are helpful, that give us comfort. Good thing to think about this week. Not how does the Spirit comfort you and why aren't you coming to church, or not how does the Spirit comfort you and why don't you pray more often, or not why or how does the Spirit comfort you and why don't you mention the name of Jesus more often, but how does the Spirit comfort you? Because God is involved in comfort. Jesus said, I will send another advocate to be by your side. And so God sends people. God is present in things that are by our side to help us, to comfort us. All right, one more thing. At the beginning of this reading, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And it's so often that we love to look at if-then statements in the Bible and say, well, apparently, if you don't love Jesus, you won't keep the commandments. So if you don't keep the commandments, apparently you don't love Jesus, and so Jesus is not going to give you a comforter. Or what just happens if you mess up? I broke the commandments. I broke the 10. I broke the big 2. Let me tell you that this is a way that the readers would have understood what Jesus said. Not what I just said, but this. They would have heard these words from Jesus and understood it this way. If you love me, and I know that you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I know that you will because you love me. It wasn't a conditional statement. We read it as a conditional statement because we know if then, and one has to be true to be the other. Jesus says, I know that you love me. I know that you keep my commandments, and you know that I love you. So it wasn't about, if you screw up, I'm going to take it away. It was about, you've got this. He wasn't making a request. He wasn't reminding the disciples of his expectation, if you love me. No, he wasn't doing that. He was making a promise that the disciples wouldn't be alone. That's what Jesus was doing in this goodbye speech, in the part that we read today. He knew that the disciples would mess up. He knew that the road would be difficult. He knew that they would need support and comfort and help from someone standing beside them. And he promised that support to them. And just like the disciples were not alone then, we are not alone today. I know that it's easy to make the jump all the time from it's in the Bible and so here it is. But this is one of those that it is easy to make the jump. Jesus promised to the disciples another advocate, a comforter, someone to stand beside. They were not alone, and we are not alone because that comforter is still present with us today. And God knows that we mess up. God knows that our lives and our faith journeys are difficult. God knows that we need support and comfort and help and someone to stand beside us. And God promises that support. So Jesus promised an advocate. Jesus promised the paraclete. You get your new Greek word today and you get to apply it and make it be something that brings comfort. So when things are at their best, the paraclete is a helper. And when things are at their worst, the paraclete is a comforter. When we've done everything right, and there are days when we've done everything right, the paraclete is a counselor. And when we've completely messed up, the paraclete is an advocate. God is so good at knowing us and continuing to give us more love. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you for being our comforter, our helper, our counselor, our advocate, our all-around helper. Thank you for being with us by our side. Amen.